Story, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, there's no lie. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's
I want to know you more. Oh,
to do whatever you want to do whatever you want and I will make room for you, Jesus, to do whatever you want to do.
Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Do you ever find yourself in a place where life just seems to press you in a corner? And it just squeezes tighter and tighter? And I thank my God that He gave us a family of believers. And there's a place like this today that we can come and be refreshed. How do people make it without Him? How do people make it when they've forsaken the New Testament church? They failed to assemble. I don't know where I'd be without you. I'm so thankful to have a family of believers. To remind me that we're all just pilgrims passing through this place. This is not our home. Oh, He's so worthy. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. Oh, go ahead again. Glorious Lord, we do give You praise. And we thank You for making room for us. And we make room in our hearts and in our lives for more of You. It is our plea. Do whatever You want to do. Just do it. In every one of our lives. Make us who You want us to be. Let us bring You glory in everything that we do. May our life be a worship song every day, every moment. Rid us of everything that does not belong in our lives. Just remove it. Just remove it, Lord. Give us a fresh cleansing in you. We love you now. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Wow. I do love you. We love you. We appreciate you. I thank you for every text and every phone call I received at the passing of my father. It just shows me how much you care. And it's a whole lot better to know how much someone cares than to care how much someone knows. So thank you. This morning, we're going to receive the offering. And after we do, after you finish, we're going to get back into worship with our with a worship dance this morning. So I invite you that if you're in the house and want to bring your offering forward, after I pray over the offering, you just come on forward. And those of you who give online or give by push pay or whatever, you do that as well. And let's be a blessing. Let's be a blessing. You know, if we could live without finances, we could give them all away. We could just give it all back. But we can't. But we do the very best we can. And your sacrifice, whatever you have to do without, to do what he says do, you will never miss it, because it'll come running right back in. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your generosity. And as we come this morning and bring in our gifts, we just look forward to what you are going to do in our lives, because we've been faithful to you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We trust you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may give.
Myself to you, with your arms stretched out wide, you pay the price, you bled and died.
Lord,
I lift my hands, and I extend myself
to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
With your arms
stretched out wide,
you pay the price,
and for me,
you bled and died.
Oh.
that it's the least that I could do.
Oh, come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you've been so good. Come on, how many of you know he's been good to you? Come on, how many of you know he's been good to you? Hallelujah. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today with gratitude in our hearts for who you are, for what you have done. You gave the supreme sacrifice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, that's your heart for this world. That's your heart for this nation, all the nations. That's your heart for this state, all the states. That's your heart for this county. That's your heart for this community. That's your heart for every person in this building. That's your heart for everyone watching online today, that we would know you, the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings, and give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, not halfway, not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. God, help us today to discriminate, to choose life, not death. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise one more time, would you? Say welcome to our online audience as well. Thank you for following us. I was in a meeting yesterday afternoon. Started out with the men's ministry. Thank you, Joel Tapscott, for leading that charge. Stepped out of that into a classroom teaching ministers for the future. Stepped out of that to a wedding yesterday. And when I was in the wedding, I realized that there was this lady making eye contact with me, and I spoke to her, and I called her name because I remembered her from many years ago, and she said, "Can I just tell you something?" She said, "I go to Carpenter Shop Church every week of my life. When I get home on Sunday afternoon, I go to your church." Can I just tell you, you never know. Somebody say, you never know. You just never know. And so we thank God for opportunities to impact the nations. In just a few days, we'll get this information out to you. In just a few days, John Javed from Pakistan will be with us on an off night. Not a Sunday, not a Wednesday. I think it's a Tuesday night. Not this coming week, but the next. He's coming from Pakistan. He's the man that God used to establish a television network that reaches 182 countries of the world. A very, very, very humble man. Very humble man, but he's flying into the States and doing ministry all over the States. As a matter of fact, David Metz, I believe, is at his church this morning. And he's touching the nations of the earth, and God is doing a tremendous thing in that Middle Eastern nation of Pakistan. So pray for Pastor John. You'll get a chance to meet him. Go ahead and mark your calendar down. Let me pull out my iPhone here. Got all the tools in the world. We might as well use them. Come on, somebody. Tuesday night, the 25th. How many of y'all got a phone in your hand? Come on, hold it up. Tuesday night, the 25th. Why don't you take a minute right now and put an appointment? You have an appointment at 7 o'clock that night. Okay, I got it on my phone. Tuesday night, the 25th at 7 o'clock. And go ahead and say, "Hey, I have an appointment," because there's a gentleman here that deserves a full house. He does. He's a very humble man, and God has used him powerfully to touch the nations of the earth. And so it's the least that we can do to show up. And go ahead and pack you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for supper that night. And get ready. Amen. We're without excuse. Amen. We're without excuse. If you go to their country, Pastor Mike can tell you, if you go to their country, you can just say, "Hey, can you preach tonight? And you can say, yeah. And he said, well, yeah, we're going to gather a crowd, and they will blow your mind at how many people will gather just at passing the word. Passing the word, there's going to be a service tonight. People will walk to church. And here we are, spoiled, rich, and increased with goods, and having need of nothing. And we have a hard time making it to special occasions. Spiritual discrimination. Spiritual discrimination, choosing good over evil. Good or evil. Spiritual discrimination. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we pray and we ask you to help us today. Your presence is here. Your presence is here to heal. Your presence is here to save. Your presence is here to deliver. Your presence is here to cause us, God, to come to the valley of decision. And I pray that today in this room, there would be people that would throw off the sin that entangles them. To throw off those things that hinder and so easily beset us. And give us the tenacity to run with patience the race marked out for us. For this is your word, Lord. This is your desire that we follow after you. There's compromise in this room today, God. We admit it. There's some people that are straddling the fence. There's some people with one foot in Egypt and one in the promised land. There's some people who haven't discovered yet the ability to say no and choose yes. And so we ask you to help us today, help all of us. And at the conclusion of this hour together, God, would you fill this altar with hungry souls, broken people, who would say to you and to everybody watching them today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, thank you for the blanket of anointing that you've already laid upon this room. As your servant today, may I handle that correctly. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's getting ready to move. Amen. Come on, say, God's going to move. God's going to move. He is. It was an iconic song of the 1980s by a country artist named Kenny Rogers, taking us on a journey to a warm summer's evening on a train bound for nowhere. Y'all remember that one? I was in high school. Amen. Amen. It was a song nobody really wanted to mess with. It passed around Nashville for a couple of years, and Johnny Cash recorded it, The Man in Black. Willie Nelson passed on it. But Kenny Rogers took the song and added a gospel quartet to it, the Jordanaires. So the song, The Gambler, that no one really wanted to touch at all, ended up to become album of the year that year. And I bet most of us in this room could sing some of the lyrics. You got to know when to hold on, know when to fold on, know when to walk away, know when to run, you never count your... Look at y'all, the most ungodly people. You just went from singing Make Room for You. What in the world? I will make room for you. And now you're singing The Gambler. What's up with that, Krista? What's up with that? I don't get this. Man, I go away a week and y'all come back to this? Come on. Life is really complicated. And so you look at the words, and the wisdom comes forth in that song and says this: now every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away and knowing what to keep. You ever played cards before? Come on. Knowing what to throw away and knowing what to keep. Life is a lot like that. You got to know what to throw away and you got to know what to keep. In other words, we're called to discriminate. Some of y'all got scared when I said that word. You did. Come on, just be honest there. What's he talking about? Discriminate. God has called you to discriminate. See, we discriminate with the wrong things. Color of skin, amount of money in your pocket, little jingle in your pants, little money, little change. We discriminate on those things, but God wants you to discriminate. We just need to discriminate in the right way. Discrimination is defined as the recognition and the understanding of the difference between one thing and another. Like the difference between right and wrong. God wants you to discriminate right from wrong. Because we live in a culture that has come full circle to call wrong right. Are y'all listening today? Are you hearing me? They've called wrong right and right wrong. You and I are heavily persecuted for following the ways of Jesus. And can I just tell you something prophetically today? It's going to get worse. Okay? But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus said this. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to the kingdom of God, to his presence. Then he said, broad is the path that leads to destruction. There's a lot of people going the broad way today, and there's very few people going the narrow way. So we're called to discriminate. This is a spiritual discrimination, a determination of the difference between right and wrong. Our lives, like never before in this toxic culture, are like knowing what to discriminate against, knowing what to throw away, and knowing what to keep. It was Neil Escaline, one of my favorite authors of years gone by. He wrote a book called Yes, Yes in a No-No World. Yes, Yes in a No-No World. It was motivational, and Escaline made enough money on that book to build him a house. My first book didn't turn out like that. Amen. I think I'm up to 14,000 copies now that have been sold. But you do the math. 50 cent royalty on a 14,000, it's you won't buy a house on that, okay? The book resonated with the positivity of Dr. Robert Schuller and the practice of what? Positive confession, a concept that was made popular in the 80s faith movement. That's not a negative statement about a very positive book. It's just the truth. Life is both yes and no. You're here today in this worship setting because you've discriminated. You've said yes to God and no to the devil. You've said yes to the spiritual and no to the carnal. You've said yes to Christ and no to Satan, yes to good and no to evil. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, the children of Israel gathered at a place called Shechem to make a, here's a good word, covenant with God. Joshua rehearses their history of Father Abraham. He reminds them of the God that they're dealing with, the God who makes, here we go, covenant. The God with whom they have a covenant. He's the God who the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament is a jealous God. God is a jealous God, according to Moses, Exodus chapter 34, verse number 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is what? Jealous. The Lord has so many names, and one of them is jealous. He's a jealous God. God is not to be trifled with. Don't play with God. Don't in any way compromise your covenant that you made with him when you gave your life to Christ. Moses goes on, teaches us those things. And then in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, it says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness." Put away, somebody say put away. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, where the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, discriminate. We will choose one or the other. We will decide. We will determine. It'll be a yes and no. It's good over evil. The jealous God of Abraham demands discrimination here. It's the very foundation of covenant. It's the essence of covenant. I made a covenant with Joy Chapel, July the 12th, 1981. Yesterday, I was in the same church, sitting just feet from the same altar in a little Baptist church that I grew up in. 41 years ago, I stood face to her, she faced me, and we were asked some serious questions. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here in the sight of God to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony. Will you love her? Keep only unto her. Will you honor her? Will you cherish her in sickness and in health? I know folk who've bailed out on their mate when they got cancer or Parkinson's or dementia. I know people who've had other relationships going on when their own spouse is not yet dead. So they did what? They broke covenant. They broke covenant. Covenant is powerful. I stood at that church and I said, before God and these witnesses, I covenant, I promise to keep myself only unto you as long as we both shall live. This is the nature of covenant. No prevarication, no speaking lies, no reneging, no renegotiating. This is covenant. In other words, we're not just signing up for something to see how it'll work. People treat marriage today like a purchase at Walmart. If I don't like it, I'll take it back and get me another. Look, I've been out of town, guys, for a few weeks. I'm back. Amen. I'm going to say it, okay? I'm going to say it. My biographical sketch when people book me to speak somewhere else says, he's a man who's transparent and has strong conviction. I'm not going to hold back truth from you. I'm going to tell you the truth, and if it hurts your feelings, get over it. And if you have a hard time getting over it, grow up. Okay? Put your big boy pants on. Come on. Because you and I need the truth. I need the truth, Lord. I need your truth, because what does your truth do for me? It sets me free. Come on, give the Lord praise today. It sets us free. The truth will set you free. And so it's a yes, it's settled. Remember Elijah the prophet, the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah's at Mount Carmel. We'll be there in just a matter of a couple of weeks. Somebody said, will you go to Mount Carmel? Yes, we'll be on the Carmel mountain range. He says, how long will you go limping? I like this translation. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. James chapter 1 verse 8 says this. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let me read that one more time. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. There's some people sitting in this room today. I'm not singling out anybody. I'm just saying, in a crowd like this, you always have people who are fence riders. You look at your own life. You take inventory. You be the judge, not me. I'm not your judge. But you inventory your own life. There's some areas in your life that you are compromising in. There's some areas in the lives of those who are watching online. There's compromise. You haven't made a full yes in some areas. Well, you know, pray for me. I'm just doing the best I can. No, you're not. You're not doing the best you can. In some areas, you're doing just enough to make you feel justified. Y'all are the quietest bunch of Presbyterians I've ever seen in my life. Okay. Listen, you've got to make decisions. You can't snort, smoke a reefer. Look, you can't do that. You can't do that. Some of you are facing a holiday right now. You're going to dress your kids up like demons and devils and let them go collect candy. Oh, I got into somebody's Kool-Aid then. say, oh, this is the cutest little witch I've ever seen. I've never seen a cute witch. I never have. A witch is a witch. Okay? So go ahead and get yourself ready. Face this holiday and show the world that you can be happy, that you can have joy, that you can have a smile on your face. If I was dressing up for Halloween and I'm not, you know what I would be? I'd be the biggest fat emoji anybody's ever seen. And I'd have a smile on my face. I'd be the biggest ball of yellow you've ever seen in this town. And have a smile on my face. And I'd just be running around like this, not scaring anybody. I see people, man, I've already seen it online. Man, it makes me sick. I see people that are already gearing up. Let me go on record as saying this, because I just don't care. I don't. I don't care what somebody says he said. If I did, I wouldn't be a preacher. I see people gearing up for the scariest experience in a Husky has ever seen. They're already promoting the haunted night, the haunted experience. And if you're a Christian, you don't belong there. You don't. You don't open the door up for yourself to receive a demonic impartation. You don't. You don't open yourself up to that. Because if you do that, if you play that, I promise you, demonic influence will enter your life. I've had face-to-face bouts with demons. I don't like it. I've been choked to death by one. Nearly choked to death until I could get two syllables out of my mouth. You don't play with demonic power. Well, you know, yeah, we had a fun this weekend. We got together and pulled out the Ouija board. Go ahead and pull out the Ouija board. It'll speak to you, I promise you. The Ouija board will speak because you've availed yourself to spirits to speak to you. And if I was to ask somebody in this house, hey, how many of y'all have a Ouija board in your house? There'd be several people that could raise their hand. Yeah, I got one. I wouldn't have that in my house for nothing. There's people in this room, I guarantee if you said, have you ever called a psychic? 1-800, there's people in this room that have called psychics. Do psychics work? Absolutely. They can speak to you. They can give you a demonic prophetic word. They can. I remember someone years ago who told me I was curious, and so I went to see a palm reader. And you know what happened? They went to see the palm reader in Virginia Beach one day, and the very next day they had a visitation of a spirit in their automobile. I'm talking the real deal. I'm not holding it back from you. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you open yourself up to that realm, I promise you, the spirits will speak to you. Somebody say, he got serious now. This is the truth. If you open yourself up to that arena, you will get a message. Okay, so you have to be careful. You already have from Genesis to Revelation, and you won't even read that. But you're going to pay somebody to hold out your hands. Or how about tarot cards? Same thing, same demons. They'll speak to you. You have to remember what Elijah says. He says, how long will you go limping between two opinions? If it's the Lord God, then follow him. If it's Baal, then follow him. And a double-minded man, according to James, is unstable. Why do you have some instability in your life? It's because you're playing both sides of the fence. Okay? Remember, even the gambler knows the secret to surviving is knowing what you throw away and knowing what you keep. There's some things that you and I and everyone listening here need to throw away. The yes and no, the good and evil, has never been so before us as it is today. The majority of Americans, hear me, do not believe in absolute truth. They don't. They qualify everything. They don't believe in absolute law. They don't believe in absolute gender. Did you know that there's some 72 different qualifications for specific gender choices? We've even got people now serving the animal kingdom requiring litter boxes in the school classroom. Have you ever heard such foolishness in all your life? Have you ever heard such foolishness in all of your life? I was in a store just a few days ago, and the cashier was dressed up like a black cat. She had little ears on her head. She had taken the makeup and she had taken the eyeliner and stuff, and she had come all the way down to the top of her ear over here. And she had all black on. And the first thing I thought was, she's doing this because it's Halloween. Then I remembered, no, she'd been dressing like that all year long. She goes to work every day like a cat. I wanted to scratch her. Felt the Holy Ghost, man. I want to scratch you. I want to get in a cat fight with you. with the truth, okay? I'll just give you the truth. I thought, so sad. I walked out of the building. I thought, man, how sad. How sad. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? It's out there. It's out there. It's out there. People have all kinds of choices because they don't believe in an absolute. I believe in an absolute. Male and female created he them. Nothing else. Okay? Male and female created he them. Okay? Never been so critical to cast off the spirit of, I think so, could be, might be all right. Never been so critical as now to cast off that spirit and replace it with a divine, yes, this is what God's word says. I choose good. I choose God. I choose Christ. I choose righteousness. I choose Jesus. I choose yes. Matthew 5:37, greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. We'll stand there in just a few weeks. We'll stand at the very top where Jesus didn't use one of these. He used the ability of the Sea of Galilee to carry the voice. Public address system. He stands at the top of the hill and preaches the sermon. And in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:37, he said this, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus is speaking to his brethren who have been shortcutting their vows and they've been breaking covenant. And they had decided among themselves that if they swore by God's name, they would keep their word. You ever heard somebody say, man, I swear to God. What are they trying to do? They're trying to fortify your opinion of their word by saying, I swear to God. But they discovered that if they swore by heaven, a little lesser measure, they could give themselves a little wiggle room to choose to go another way. So Jesus says this, hey man, don't swear by nothing. Just let your yes be yes and let your no be no. I'm giving you the Bible, friends. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Covenant with Jesus Christ requires a clear distinction. Yes to God means you don't make your way down to the theater and go sit there and watch Halloween Ends. Halloween Ends is in the theaters right now, and guess what? Projected to gross $60 million. $60 million. Man, you could do some mission work with that, couldn't you? Only $10,000 to build you a church in Cote d'Ivoire. $60 million for people to go sit and turn on the big screen and watch adultery and murder and lies and deception and multiple stabbings. I read about the movie. I'm not going to it, but I read about it. And you young people, you don't need another version of demonic influence in your life. You don't. As for me and my house, I'm going to discriminate and I am going to serve the Lord. Well, it's just entertainment. So you want to entertain yourself by inviting demons into your life. Come on, think about it. Well, I thought it was cute. There ain't nothing cute about lies, deception, adultery, multiple murders. There's a man in a movie who lived in the sewer for 5 years. Ever read that in the Gospel of Mark? There was a man who lived among the tombs, Mark chapter 5, and cut himself with stones. He was demon possessed. The movie has no place for Christ followers. And if you name the name of Jesus Christ, let your yes be yes. You will be asked, hey, you want to go see Halloween Ends? No, I don't. I don't want to see it. I don't want to open myself up to the horrific, demonic influence of anything the devil has to offer me. I don't. Not going to the movie. And if I find out you do, I'm going to embarrass you right to your face. I'm going to embarrass you right. Not in public, but I'm going to come after you. And I'm going to say, what's wrong with you, man? Didn't you hear me warn you? Didn't you hear me tell you? Because you know what? People are stupid enough. They'll say, going to see Halloween Ends. And they got a big old smile on their face and even wore a cap to it to signify I'm with you. Something stupid, something demonic. If you think my job is easy, you got another thing coming. This is not easy, guys. It's not easy to tell the truth. It's not easy to release the truth to people. I labor over this. But I refuse to soft pedal the gospel. I refuse to give you half truth. I refuse to give you a way that justifies your choices and your behavior. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. Because I'm going to stand before one day with a greater judgment than you ever thought you would have. And I'm going to give an account for every word that proceeds out of my mouth on this platform. I'm going to stand before God. Well, we were planning on going. Well, change your plans. Discriminate. Choose no. I'm not going to that movie. I'm not contributing to the 60 million. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Make a good choice. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. You say, well, man, why is he so serious about this? Ephesians 5, 11, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says what? Have nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. But rather, do what I just did. Expose them. Expose them. Tell your friends, don't go see that, man. Blame it on me. Say, my pastor said it's demonic. Well, your pastor's a fruitcake. No, he's not. No, he's not. You ought to see him, man. He's a nice guy. Got a cool shirt. Okay. Dillard's, 70% off the already half price. Come on. All right. You ought to see my pastor. My pastor will tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because here's what happens when you go and experience something on a demonic realm like that. It desensitizes you. And then you want a scarier movie. You know, I'm a scaredy cat anyway. I mean, if you sneak up on me in the dark, man, I'm liable to make a puddle right on the floor. I get scared real easy, okay? I mean, sometimes I've jumped at my own shadow because I scare easy. Why would I go sit in a comfortable seat and eat a box of popcorn and try to get myself scared to death? No, just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. I'm going to discriminate, okay, because I made covenant. In the Old Testament, we find most of our covenant language, okay? I'm going to teach you something here. Old Testament covers almost all of our covenant language. It's an establishment for God's people. And this is what they called it. We're going to cut a covenant. Not make one. Going to cut a covenant. In other words, a sacrifice was made in the cutting of a covenant. A sacrifice, an animal. Those parties of the covenant were saying this. Don't miss this, guys. Those parties of the covenant would sacrifice an animal, and they would cut a covenant. They would shed blood. And this is what they were saying when they made that covenant. May it be unto me as unto this sacrificial animal if I do not keep my covenant. If I don't keep my part of the bargain, may I also be looking like this animal. In other words, covenants came down to the shedding of blood. Okay? God made a covenant with us, okay? And he did it on the cross. Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought you and I peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed in many ways. Covenants came down to the shedding of blood. Covenants have always established the yes and no of a new way of living that draws God's creation closer to him. Every divine covenant has this in common. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus had very little to say about covenants as he was the very one who ushered in the new one. Only once do we even hear the word covenant come from his lips. It's referenced by three of the gospel writers, but was only spoken of once. Luke 22, verse 20. Jesus took a cup at the Passover meal, and he says, this cup is the new, what? Covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. He said, we're cutting a covenant here, and I'm the sacrifice, okay? I'm the sacrifice. I'm going to the cross. He knew it. He knew it. It was the Last Supper. It was just as if he was just about to walk up Calvary's hill and become the bleeding, dying Lamb of God, our covenant sacrifice for our sins. It would be the place where forever we would witness a blood-stained cross and remember the price that was paid that we might live out the defining yes and no's that mark us as people of the covenant. You and I are people of the covenant. There shouldn't even be a question as to who we are or who we serve. We should be able to recognize that in people's lives by the way they live. It would be the place where forever we would witness that blood-stained reminder. You know, I'm going just November 7th, we leave for Israel. And we will go into those places that you'll just stand there. And a sense of holy awe will grip you. And you'll be saying, I'm sitting at the place, the very ground I'm walking on is where he walked up Calvary's hill and stretched out his arms and bled for me and died for me. You will get there. And you'll be spellbound in seemingly. You'll be in awe and shock. I'm in the very place. We say yes to Christ and no to the world. Where do we do it? At the cross. We say yes to the kingdom and no to the trending ideologies that are being thrust upon you, especially in this younger generation. We say yes to the kingdom and no to these ideologies that are trending today at the cross. We say yes to his call for us to serve and no to any compromise. Where do we do that? At the cross. We say yes to the Great Commission and no to Christian complacency. Where do we do that? At the cross. We say yes to growing his church and no to just having a status quo little meeting. Where do we do it? At the cross. Because at the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by grace. I received my sight, my spiritual discrimination. And now, thank God, I'm happy all the day. Can you give God praise today? I give him praise today. At the cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Amen? He died for me. He gave his life for me so that I could live eternally. Jesus died at the cross. The cross brings us back to that flesh and blood of Jesus and calls us to remember the true cost of discipleship. The true cost of disciple making, what is the cost? His blood. His blood was shed for me. It's where we remember covenant, and it's also where we're reminded to keep covenant. The early church remembered his covenant. And every time they got together, you know what they would do? Break bread. And every time they got together, they would drink the cup, remembering his broken body. And his shed blood, you hold one in your hand today. They did it together. And the Bible says they did it often. So that the cross never faded from their sight. Never faded from their spirit. Never faded from their mind. I don't want to forget the sacrifice that he made. That's why I choose to say no to Halloween Ends. That's why I choose to say no to some thwarted relationship possibility. That's why I choose to say no. Mine is a yes. I say yes to Christ. The people of the early church, they did this together, and they did it so often because they did not want the cross to fade from their sight. I have a question for you. Has the cross faded from your sight? Or do we know what to throw away in our lives and in our society? And do we know what to keep? Let me remind you today as we close. Kenny Rogers sang those opening words to that 80s song, "On a Warm Summer's Evening, in a Train Bound for Nowhere." You're not bound for a train going nowhere. You're bound on a train going to eternity. How long is eternity? One writer said this: eternity is if a bird took a grain of sand from the East Coast and moved it to the West Coast and moved the entire East Coast one grain at a time. It just never ends. Eternity is a long time. Where will you spend eternity? And you and I must know what to throw away, and we must know what to keep. And we must say yes to Jesus and no to the devil. Yes to spiritual life and eternity and no to the devil. This is spiritual discrimination that we must make every day of our lives. Every day. Jesus took his ministry team to the coast of the Mediterranean. I took my ministry team to the coast last week. And we spent some powerful times of connection, prayer, fellowship, just getting. Well, y'all out there playing mini golf and riding roller coasters? No, we never came out of the house. We didn't go out and get food. We took our food with us. And we fixed every meal right there in that house. When we parked in the driveway, the only time we ever left was go to the grocery store and get one more container of half and half. Because you got to have caffeine, coffee, and all that good stuff, right? We shut ourselves in. Jesus did this. He took his ministry team to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, right on the Mediterranean. You'll stand in the water. You're going to stand right there in the water. The coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he said, "Hey, I got a question for you. So who are people saying that I am? I just want to know. I want to ask you guys, who are people saying that I, the Son of Man, am?" He said, "Well, nobody said anything." And Peter says, "Well, I guess I better speak up, because the Lord has an amazing way of double-crossing his followers. So I might as well take a stab at it." Some are saying you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some said you're John the Baptist. Some, they say you're one of the prophets. And now Jesus said, "Listen, who do you say that I am?" Can I just tell you something? Every day when you get out of bed, you answer that question. Who do I say that he is? By your actions, by your choices, by the things that you discriminate either yes or no. You say it with your life every day. Peter says, "Well, I say you're the Christ, Christos, Messiah, the anointed one," if you're in the original language. And Jesus said this to him: "Man, flesh and blood didn't give that to you. You didn't find that on Google." He said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, Peter, Petros, the rock, upon you I'm going to build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that's what he wants out of you and I. He wants us building the church. He wants us propagating the Great Commission. We've given you cards. We've reminded you. Some of y'all probably took the cards home and they're still sitting on the kitchen cabinet. You haven't passed the one of them out. That's okay. God will wake you up one day and you'll start passing them out. I had a chance several times in the past since I've had those cards in my hand to give them away. Yesterday, in Ahoskie, a young lady, I stood there in her presence for just a few minutes when I stop to the convenience store. And I just saw the card on my console there, and I picked one up. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She said, "Fine." I said, "Here, let me share this with you. Just let me share this with you." She said, "What is it?" I said, "It's just a card about our church." She said, "Where's the church at?" I turned and I said, "Over there." And the guy with her said, "Carpenter shop, man. He's the pastor." Okay. Shh. Okay. She said, "You're the pastor?" I said, "Yeah." And I had a pair of jeans on and just a normal shirt. And she said, "You're the pastor." She said, "Well, if I come, what do we wear?" I said, "Well, I'm wearing jeans tomorrow and a normal shirt." "Well, this is not a normal shirt." I said, "I'm just wearing jeans and a shirt." She said, "You can go like that?" I said, "Yeah, you can go like that." And the couple that I was looking at was interracial. And I said, "You would fit very well in our church." She said, "Both of us?" "Yes, ma'am." "Okay, both of us." So I don't see her today. "Are you here?" "Evidently not." But I made sure I sent an invitation. Why? Because I've discriminated. I've said yes to the things of God and no to the things of the world. Somebody told me your pastor was discriminating. He is. Okay. I'm discriminating against right and wrong, good and evil. Okay? Spiritual discrimination that we must make every day of our lives. Who do you say that he is? I say he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, you know, we have to be reminded. The early church was reminded. They were reminded over and over and over. And so the Apostle Paul, bless his heart, he set a table, he set a place for you today at the table of the Lord. There's a chair waiting for you. And he said this. He said, "For I've received of the Lord," I'm in 1 Corinthians. How many of y'all have one of these? Okay. If you don't, just raise your hand and someone will make sure you get one. Okay. He said, "I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks," verse 24, "he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, the Bible says, after supper, he took the cup and he said," here's the only time he ever said it. The gospel writers, or the three of them, said he said this, "This cup is a new covenant I'm getting ready to cut." Okay? It's a new covenant. Blood will be shed. He didn't tell them this, but they understood what covenant was. Why? Because of the backdrop of everything that had ever happened in the Old Testament. He said, "This is the new covenant." Covenant. Man, what you talking about, Willis? Covenant? He said, "Whenever you drink it, you need to drink it remembering me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are guilty of" what? "Proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And so you can pull the first layer off of the top of this. And you release a wafer. Bread. Bread. Now, before you eat it, don't eat too fast because that causes your heartburn. Don't eat too fast. Slow down and chew your food. But not yet. Because there might be some decision that you have to make. You just heard the Lord speak to you a word about discrimination. Some of you will have an opportunity in just a few seconds to just go stand up to your feet. Okay? Let me just pose a question to you. How many of you have realized in the proclamation of this word of God today that you're probably saying yes to some things that you should not be saying yes to? You should be saying no. And so you're given the opportunity today. You see, we got it all wrong. Most of you grew up in the atmosphere where when the communion was passed, you had this pressure on you. Well, I can't take it today. See, I can't take it today because I was taught, man, you take that, man, you're in trouble if your life's not right. Can I just tell you? Your life will never be right. As long as you're in this earth, your life will never be the right that you're thinking about. It's declared right, but there's some issues there. So when you do come together, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Let him examine himself. So in your examination, Pastor Wallace, I just want to just be forthright and honest today. There's some places that I'm saying yes when I should be saying no. Just put your hand on the pew and stand to your feet. Close your eyes. Come on. Just stand up. There's some places, thank you. There's some places that I'm saying yes when I should be saying no. Come on, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I should be saying no. And as I stand, I'm saying to the Father, Lord, please help me discriminate better. See, what you're doing right now is you're just smacking the devil right in the face. You're saying, you know what? You've lied to me long enough, man. I'm going to stand for God. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. And all the little blunders and all the little mistakes that you've made, I stand here today as a pastor not to judge you, but to say congratulations on renewed covenant. Okay? Renewed covenant. I struggle, Pastor. I struggle sometimes. I think thoughts I know I shouldn't think. I make decisions I know I shouldn't make. I carry out activities that I really am not comfortable with, but I'm pulled. That's for you too. People stood when I said that. You're pulled. Pull on that front seat in front of you and stand to your feet. Be pulled by the Holy Spirit today to renew covenant. Renew covenant. I've said it many times in this pulpit. Yesterday, I attended a wedding. Every time I go to a wedding or do a wedding, I suddenly become a better husband because I'm reminded of covenant. Every time I preach a funeral, I become a better Christian. And let me dedicate a baby, and I'm the best father my kids have ever seen. What is that? That's a reminder. That's what we're doing right now. We're taking the reminder cup. It's a reminder. And the early church. Well, our church does it first Sunday of every month. Our church does. If you're in the Church of Christ, how often are you going to do communion? Every Sunday. They do it every week. It don't tell you in the Bible how often to do it, but it just simply said, as often as you do, you're reminding yourself of His great sacrifice. So, Father, thank you for this bread. Thank you for a time of examination. Thank you for a time of renewal. Thank you for cutting the covenant for us. You shed your blood. Thank you for the cup that, according to you, Lord, is the new covenant. That you shed your blood so that we might be found in right standing before you when that blood is applied to our lives. We confess our sins. We ask the Lord to come into our hearts and help us to be a good person when it comes to discrimination. Letting our yes be yes and our no be no. So thank you, Lord, for reminder today. In Jesus' name. You can go ahead and take the bread. As you finish the bread, you can peel back the rest of that container. Now, don't get confused. When you drink this, it doesn't become the blood of Jesus. It's not transubstantiation. It doesn't turn into the blood of Jesus. This is not some mystical, magical thing that went, once you swallow it, you just swallowed the blood of Jesus. This is only a reminder, a symbol. It's just a symbol. It symbolizes that his blood was shed for you. And as you drink it, you just proclaimed that you believe that he is the only means of bringing humanity back to God through your own experience. Would you take it together? I always turn it up a second time because I just want to make sure I got it all, okay? Okay. I just want to make sure I got every bit of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Could we just move to that last song today? I will make room for you. I will make room for you. Could I have my ministry team here just to come stand across this front? We've already went through spiritual dealings, but could you just come and stand? Because I want to give an invitation to people today. And here's what it is. I've got a pain in my right side. I've got diabetes. They say I have a heart murmur. I've got cancer. The psychologist said I was schizophrenic. It doesn't matter. I'm talking about things that have just entered your body. You say, man, I sure would love for somebody just to pray with me, because I got stuff going on. I just ask you, Lord, that as hands are laid on today, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks yokes and bondages would just be transferred in the strong name of Jesus, be transferred to your people. And Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you release covenant promises? I'm the God who heals you. I'm the God who heals you. God bless you, man. I'm the God who heals you. In fact, you can go ahead and start coming, because God's going to allow these people to lay hands on you. And the Holy Spirit is going to touch you. He's going to release healing power, healing virtue. It doesn't come from the individual. It comes from God through the individual. So in the name of Jesus, thank you. Just come. Man, my knee's been killing me. Just come. Man, I just feel like I'm confused. Just come. Just come. I feel like I'm always at the doctor. Just come. Just come. Well, they said I had this. Just come. Just come. Make room for him. Make room for him. God's going to move by his Spirit today. Go ahead, sing it. There's an anointing on this today. Hallelujah. I'm making room, God. Do whatever you want to. Yes, Lord.
This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you.
You.
to do whatever you want.
Do what you want to, Lord.
To do whatever you want. And I will make room for you. To do whatever you want.
His way is better today. His way is better. His way is better. Your way is better. Your way is better. I will make room for you to do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I will make room for you. Do whatever. Do whatever you want to.
Do whatever you want to.
Hey, there. I just want to don't know about you today, but for me, leaving this sanctuary today, it gives me a more solid understanding that when God looks at me, He's looking for a solid yes. Yes to the things of God and no to the things of the world. The line's being drawn in the sand, okay? It's being drawn in the sand. And there's an agenda behind Hollywood, the media. There's an agenda to destroy what Pastor Mike stood on this platform and gave thanks for. He just said, I just thank God for my family. Okay? Thank God for my family. He's talking about the family of God. Okay? Because how many of y'all got some issues in your other family? Come on. Come on, man. That was fast, y'all. That was fast. But the family of God, we need one another. We need one another. And so we give thanks to God for family. And Lord, thank you that as we leave today, we've learned something about discrimination. We're called by you to say yes to your way and no to the alternatives. Empower us, God, to live for you like we never have before. Empower the younger generation, God, to make a solid stance in the most cruel example of a world I've ever seen in my 61 years. It's a wicked world. Help them, I pray, to let their yes be yes and their no be no. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Come on, somebody. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Amen. Know when to walk away, and know when to run. Amen. And you're on a train, but you're not bound for nowhere. You're bound for eternity in the presence of God. Would you give Him praise today one more time? Hallelujah. God bless you all. Fellowship among yourselves as you leave today. Thank you for being a part of Carpenter Shop International Church. Thank you guys online for watching us, and we appreciate you being here faithfully. God bless you all.